Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. We've all seen the videos of children who suffer from various physical, emotional, and mental conditions interacting with animals in therapy programs. They ride, pet, hold, or even swim with a variety of animals in the name of treatment. And broadly, this is referred to as animal-assisted therapy. Yesterday, I searched animal-assisted therapy, and the first video that popped up was from a children's hospital showing testimonials from patients' parents and therapists about the value of having dogs interact with the sick and depressed children. And even though I'm familiar with the criticisms of animal-assisted therapy, I have to tell you, on the video, it looks awesome, and it seems to feel so good. Well, a few weeks ago, the topic of animal-assisted therapy was nicely reviewed by Professor Hal Herzog in a Psychology Today article titled, "Does Animal-Assisted Therapy Really Work?" Hal Herzog is a professor of psychology at Western Carolina University, and he's been studying aspects of human-animal interactions for 30 years. Professor Herzog is author of over 100 research articles and the book, Some We Love, Some We Hate, Some We Eat, Why It's So Hard to Think Straight About Animals. Welcome to the program, Hal.
Well, I'm so glad to be on here. I'm really glad you asked me, Lori.
Thank you. Hal, what is animal-assisted therapy?
Well, animal-assisted therapy is the involvement in animals in a variety of clinical contexts. And this can be medical context, you know, for example, bringing animals into hospitals with children's hospitals for children that are chronically ill. It could be the use of animals in a psychologically therapeutic context, for example, the use of dogs for the treatment of, for example, wounded warriors, veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder. It could be swim with dolphins programs for children with Down syndrome. So it's a wide variety of integration of animals, usually dogs, but not always, into medical and psychological contexts.
Hal, the history of using animals for treating various types of ailments is quite interesting. How did it get started?
Well, it really goes back a lot. The idea that animals can have benefits to people, including almost miraculous healing benefits, really goes back for centuries. Even Sigmund Freud felt that his dog had a calming effect on some of his patients. But in modern times, the use really goes back in the 1960s to a psychologist named Boris Levinson, who found out that some of his patients would really open up if his dog, whose name was Jingles, was in the room. And he presented a paper on this to the American Psychological Association in 1961, and it was not taken very seriously at the time. But subsequently, it's really taken off. One of the cornerstones in terms of research was a study that was done in 1980 by Erica Friedman, who's still very involved in this area. And Erica's doctoral dissertation was on what enables some people to survive heart attacks, whereas other people don't. And as part of her dissertation, she looked at about 100 heart attack victims, and she was interested in the effects of social networking. And she, just by accident, not by accident, but she just threw in a question, do you have a pet? And when she did her subsequent analysis a year later to find out who lived and who didn't, a year after the heart attack, she found out that the people with pets were 5 times more likely to be alive than the people without pets. And this is what really jump-started the field, I think, of animal-assisted therapy.
Oh, that's fascinating. How widely practiced is animal-assisted therapy?
Well, it's increasingly widely practiced. I saw a study recently, actually it was a report by the Center for Disease Control, that said that 60% of hospices in the United States have the option of incorporating animals in their hospice programs. I recently looked at the Psychology Today list of clinical psychologists, and an awful lot of them, one of the things that they offer as part of their practice is animal-assisted therapy. many, many hospitals now have animal visitation programs. So this is becoming increasingly widespread. There was a study recently published in the journal Anthrozoos, and they found that it was a study of parents, and they found that parents were more likely to approve the use of animal-assisted therapy than they were for pharmacological, that is, drug therapy, for kids with hyperactivity.
Hmm. You covered a large number of both positive and negative facts and observations about animal-assisted therapy, but mostly you voiced skepticism about many of the claims and a lot of the research. What are some of the main points you covered in your article, Hal?
Well, the central point that I make is that there's a lot of media attention given to this, and it's becoming widely believed that animal-assisted therapy works. There's a lot of media hype about this. And I only took this on because I was asked to write a chapter for an upcoming edition of the Handbook for Animal-Assisted Therapy on the research challenges of this area. And so I began to look at the research, and what I found was that the research does not match the hype in terms of the findings. Essentially, what I found was that the problems with animal-assisted therapy really fall into two categories. The first category is most of the studies we have are methodologically weak, and I'm not the first person to point this out. A lot of people have pointed this out.
Mm-hmm.
There's very few randomized control trials. Most of the studies don't have control groups. There's small samples. One of the big problems, and you sort of alluded to a little bit when you see these videos of people interacting with animals,
yeah,
is the question of separating the interaction with the animal with just general novelty effects. So, for example, let's say you take your kid with autism down to Florida for a course of dolphin therapy. So you spend a week down there paying $700 a day to swim with dolphins. Well, that's really cool, So the question is the benefit derived from sort of being in this cool place and swimming around with these really neat animals and having fun for a week, or is there something special about the interaction with the animal? So it's sometimes difficult to separate those effects out.
Go ahead. No, please go.
Oh, then there's another set of problems that isn't just a problem with animal-assisted therapy. It's a problem with medicine in general, and scientists are increasingly worried about this. And it's a publication bias, because researchers tend to publish positive results and they don't tend to publish negative results. So, for example, there was a recent FDA study of antidepressant drugs, and when they looked at the published trials of these drugs, the published trials showed that 90% of the time the drugs worked. But when the FDA included the unpublished studies, the drugs were only effective in 50% of the trials. And I found the same thing when I looked at the animal-assisted therapy literature. Almost every study that's been published on animal-assisted therapy has worked. And the question is it because animal-assisted therapy always works, or is it because the unpublished studies simply get put in the file drawer? And I think this is a serious problem in medicine, clinical medicine generally.
Now, you mentioned about dolphins. Let's talk about the animals a bit. It's one thing to employ dogs or horses in a program, but another to use, say, dolphins, who should be in the wild but are confined in order to serve the patients. What are your thoughts on the ethics of the therapy?
Well, that's one of the areas that I do have strong feelings about. And I don't think the evidence right now is very good that dolphin therapy in and of itself actually is particularly effective. There was a recent study that came out just in the last issue of the journal Anthrozoos. It was actually a pretty good study that did show it had some small beneficial effects on kids with Down syndrome. But for the most part, I don't think you're getting your money's worth with dolphin therapy, given the expense of it. But let's pretend for a second that it does work. To me, that's even more problematic,
yeah,
because it might work to some extent for the child or for the depressed middle-aged guy that's desperately looking for treatment. But the idea that we keep these animals that are very, very bright, essentially in the dolphin equivalent of Guantanamo Bay, because, you know, we want to use them for human treatment. For me, I don't think it's justified.
Very good. More with Hal Herzog after break. We're talking about animal-assisted therapy. Don't go away.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at aianimals.org. That's the letter A, aianimals.org.
Hi, this is Dr. Lori Kirshner from Advancing the Interests of Animals. And here are a few more ways you can be kind to animals, beginning with this. Report suspected animal abuse or neglect. If you see an underfed dog or an animal left in a car on a hot day, report it right away. You could be saving a life. Try a vegetarian diet, even just for a week. Decreasing and then stopping consumption of animals is probably the best way to show your appreciation for them and for the environment, too. Don't buy cosmetics or household products that have been tested on animals. That's easy these days. And finally, don't wear clothing made from animals. Begin by saying no to fur and gradually give up animal products like leather and wool. It's easier than you might imagine. This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. Please visit us at aianimals.org. That's aianimals.org.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS that you can't pay? Call now for immediate help. 866-657-8517. At Community Tax Relief, we help consumers like you. If you take on the IRS alone, you could be facing levies, liens, even wage garnishments, personal or business tax issues. If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more, they will aggressively come after you. Protect yourself and your family today from what the IRS can do to you. Call now. 866-657-8517. They can freeze your bank account, even garnish your wages. Our expert team of tax professionals can solve your tax problems once and for all. Call now for a free 5-minute tax debt analysis. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517.
Back to Animals. Today I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. We're speaking to Hal Herzog, and we're talking about animal-assisted therapy. Hal, continue your thoughts, please, on the ethics of using animals in therapy.
Sure. I think there's a big difference between using dolphins for therapy and, say, a golden retriever for therapy. So let's say for a second that animal-assisted therapy does work. I think there's a different sort of moral problem with using dolphins than there is, for example, you know, a dog or a domestic animal who's used to living with people and who, you know, is a our friend as opposed to an unwilling captive.
Yes, and there's these reading programs that use dogs. And I've seen programs where children are on the ground reading aloud to a dog. What do you think's going on there?
I'm not sure. There was a study. I think one thing that's going on is that kids like dogs. I think the idea of reading to a dog in a low stress situation might be easier than reading to a person. For example, Karen Allen has found that people are much less stressed if they have to do math problems in front of their dog as opposed to their spouse. So it may be the same thing with reading with dogs.
Yeah.
I did see a study recently that was struck me as being problematic in the same regard from an ethical point of view. And this was a study in which they had college students write about their emotional problems over a series of days, and half the college students were in the presence of a therapy dog, and half the college students did it not being in the presence of the dog. The use of writing about emotional experience has actually been shown to be very therapeutic, whether or not there's a dog present or not. And they found that the dogs were particularly good in terms of reducing the stress in these students. However, the interesting thing is that these were two trained therapy dogs. At the end of the study, one of the dogs completely freaked out and had to be taken away from therapy programs. And so I think this is the first evidence that I've seen that at least is in the literature of where one of the dogs actually seemed to have taken on the sort of emotional burden of being a therapist. So I'm really curious about this. And this was for the first time. I was really thinking, well, maybe there is an emotional cost to the animal of being a therapy animal.
Wow, interesting, great thought. Hal, you have a wonderful book, Some We Love, Some We Hate, Some We Eat, Why It's So Hard to Think Straight About Animals. By the way, thanks for sending us a copy, and we've been really enjoying it. Your book is an introduction to anthrozoology, and you refer to yourself as an anthrozoologist. What is that?
Well, it's a relatively new field of study. We go back about 20 or 30 years. Most people, as you mentioned, have never heard of it. It's basically the study of human relationships with other species, and it's really wide-ranging. That's one of the things that I love about it. So, for example, the last issue of the journal Anthrozoos, which is the major journal in our field, included articles that range from how ethical vegetarians deal with living with cats, you know, because their cats need to eat meat, even if their owners find it immoral.
Right.
There was a paper on the role of zoos in modern society, and then there was a study on the impact of dolphin therapy on children with Down syndrome. So that sort of illustrates the wide range of topics that anthrozoologists study. And the other thing is that in addition to being interdisciplinary, we're also international. So, for example, that issue of the journal included papers from people from the United States, Australia, the Netherlands, the UK, and Denmark. So it's a relatively small and obscure field of science, but it's tons of fun and it's very, very exciting.
Why is the formal study of anthrozoology important?
That's a really great question, and it's important because some of the most important relationships that we have are with other species. When I ask my students, you know, how many of you have a pet, how many of you deeply love a pet, and how many of you is your pet one of the most important creatures in your lives, about 60% of them will raise their hand. And the other thing is that animals are involved in almost, this is what fascinates me, animals are involved in almost every aspect of human life. So the way that most people deal with animals most of the time is by eating them. So that raises, tons of sort of interesting psychological questions, ethical questions, environmental questions. Animals are involved in our religious imagery. They're involved in our art. They're involved in our literature. In some societies, they've become our best friends. In some societies, they're pariahs. So to me, it's just an absolutely fascinating window into general questions about human nature.
In your position as a professor of psychology, are you finding that students are interested in the field?
Oh, they're completely interested in the field. And one of the things that's happened in the last 10 years is that programs are popping up in anthrozoology. And there's several colleges now that offer majors in anthrozoology. There's a lot of courses being taught on various aspects of our relationships with other animals, and there's just a tremendous amount of interest in this field right now.
And are there new trends in anthrozoology?
Yeah, one of the trends, and I think it's a really exciting trend, is that there's starting to be some research money available. And so, for example, the Waltham Center for Pet Nutrition in the UK and the National Institute of Health in the United States have started putting considerable amount of grant money into better research on animal-assisted therapy. So I think for the first time we're getting some really good studies on the impact of the animals on human health and well-being. So I'm really looking forward to that. There's a lot of interest right now in the issue of, does violence to animals lead to cruelty to humans later in life, for example, in little kids. In other words, are kids that are mean to animals, do they grow up to be sociopaths? My answer, by the way, is most of the time, no, they don't. Most of the time, they grow up to be normal human beings. But I have a minority view on that.
Mm. Oh, I'd love to discuss that with you sometime. Hal Herzog, thank you so much. Can you tell us your website?
Yeah, it's halherzog.com.
Thanks so much for joining us today on Animals Today. And Hal Herzog's blog is Animals and Us, so Google Animals and Us and learn more about Hal Herzog. And Animals Today is sponsored by the nonprofit animal welfare organization Advancing the Interests of Animals, AIAnimals.org. Check them out, AIAnimals.org, and Animals Today website, AnimalsTodayRadio.com, AnimalsTodayRadio.com, where you can listen to any of the prior recorded shows. We have them all archived there on the page, so check us out, AnimalsTodayRadio.com. Thanks for tuning in to Animals Today. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. Hi, this is Dr. Lori Kirshner, and I want to thank you for listening to Animals Today. Make sure to visit us on AnimalsTodayRadio.com, where you will see all our previous shows, and you can download them free. That's AnimalsTodayRadio.com. Also, make sure to become a friend on Facebook. Animals Today gets a lot of its support from the nonprofit group Advancing the Interests of Animals. Check them out at AIAnimals.org, and I hope you'll consider making a donation to help pay for the ongoing broadcast of Animals Today. Each week on Animals Today, we strive to bring you the highest quality, most up-to-date information about all animal welfare topics, and we certainly would appreciate your support. That website again is AIAnimals.org. And thanks for listening.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. and we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Right now, you're thinking about the car in front of you that left its blinker on. Blink, 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 blink for the last 5 miles. Well, snap out of it, because what you should be thinking about is switching to Geico and saving hundreds of dollars on car insurance. You can access Geico online, over the phone, or even on the mobile app. And it's so easy, you can do it in the blink of an eye. See what I did there?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com today.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
Welcome to Staples.
Yeah, I hear Staples can handle all my holiday shipping.
Yes, sir. We have UPS available in-store, plus all the supplies you'll need, from boxes to bubble wrap.
Great, but my schedule's crazy with the holidays.
Staples opens early and stays open late.
What if I can't get here till Saturday?
We're open 7 days a week.
Even Sunday?
Well, we're open 7 days, so...
Okay, what if a week had 8 days?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we'd still be open.
This holiday, ship at Staples. Same UPS shipping and pricing. Available 7 days a week. Less stress, more savings. Staples.
Hello, Americans. It's Uncle Sam here. If you owe $10,000 or more on your federal or state income taxes, I've got important news that may help you negotiate a lower tax bill. The IRS, with their Fresh Start initiative, is offering more flexible terms to Americans looking to settle their IRS debt. They can help you lift your wage garnishments, stop bank levies, and put your tax problem behind you once and for all. If you owe tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands of dollars to the IRS or state, our team of tax professionals can resolve your case and stop collection actions against you. Even if you've been audited or haven't filed a return in years, we can help. Call right now and find out if you qualify to settle your debt for far less than what you owe. 888-794-1642. 888-794-1642. 888-794-1642. 888-794-1642.
Welcome back to Animals Today. In one of the weirdest animal stories in recent memory, a pig was escorted off a commercial airliner after it was deemed to be disruptive. Bob Ferber, former LA Animals Cruelty Prosecutor, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Laurie. How are you doing?
I'm great. Bob, this pig was allegedly an emotional support animal, but how was it allowed on the plane?
Well, under the Americans with Disability Act, commonly called the ADA, people are allowed to have what's called service animals. And we all know about, you know, seeing eye dogs. That law has changed over the years and made it clear that service animals can include more than just a seeing eye dog, and just any dog that or that is trained to help with a disability, like opening doors for somebody or something like that, or you know, getting something out of the fridge, answering a telephone, guiding somebody across the street. In more recent times, the law started to allow emotional support. That meaning that a dog. You could have a dog if it's helping you emotionally, dealing with things like, you know, an emotional disease, an emotional disorder, panic attacks, severe depression, or dealing with pain, chronic pain. And so, actually, this case about the pig on the plane, the history of this is that years ago, not that long ago, I believe it was American Airlines, somebody brought a pig on an airplane saying it was for emotional support, that it helped ease the person's fears of flying. Well, the airline didn't allow the animal on the plane, and or they, there was a big to-do about it, and it, they kind of called it When Pigs Fly. And anyway, in response to that, the federal government clarified the law saying that animals with emotional support, that provide emotional support, including a pig, are allowed on airplanes. And this should be, it's not to get too complicated, but this is not, this doesn't apply to people taking the dog into a restaurant. The law about that is only that the dog has to be for trained to help you with a physical disability, not emotional support. But for whatever reasons, they decided, the federal government, that the airline industry should allow this. Now, so in this case, they did allow this pig on the plane, but according to the story, the pig was very smelly, very noisy,
and defecated in the aisle.
Yeah, a lot apparently, and so the airline escorted them off the plane before it took off. That's the legal principle called reasonable accommodation. Give you an example that anybody can appreciate. You can be in a restaurant, and most people would understand that somebody with a seeing eye dog could be in the restaurant with the seeing eye dog. However, let's say you have a black lab seeing eye dog in a restaurant, and he's lifting his leg on all the tables, and he's pooping and barking and howling, and nobody can enjoy their meal. Well, that's where reasonable accommodation comes in. The restaurant is supposed to provide a reasonable accommodation, but not any accommodation. So they have options like asking the person, do they want to step out, eat on the patio, or can you please have a table off in the corner? Or if the dog is just completely ruining everybody's experience, the restaurant, under the Americans with Disability Act, can ask that animal to leave. So that's what happened to this situation on the airplane. While they weren't initially going to deny the pig being on the plane, once the pig started to do things that were ruining everybody else's flight, then the reasonable accommodation rule kicks in, saying, well, how far does the airline have to go? What's reasonable? And I think many, if not most people, would agree that, you know, where an animal is defecating and maybe has diarrhea and is going all through the aisles and screaming and howling, maybe that should not be accommodated. But of course, Lori, that, you know, brings up the situation or the question of, well, how come we let kids do that? You know, that's an ongoing thing in the airline industry. Travelers, the number one complaint is noisy children.
Yeah.
And noisy, stinky, you know, kids, babies crying and whatever. And of course, you know, we are forced to put up with that. And I understand that there was a hope that the 787 Dreamliner was actually going to have a children's section. It didn't pan out that way, but there's still talk about airlines redesigning their planes for that.
Do you think people take advantage of the law so they can have their pet around them?
Oh, you know, that this is where the emotional support thing, why it's become such a controversial aspect of the Americans with Disability Act, because, you know, it was easy with somebody with a physical disability, blind, deaf, a need that the animal to lean on. But when they came up with the emotional support for good reason, because of the recognition of, you know, mental emotional illness and mental instability,
yeah.
And animals have been proven to be a comfort in those situations. But it's turned into a terribly abused law, because abused by people like you, who you're referring to, who want to bring their animals into restaurants, stores, airplanes, everywhere in the world. And I want to do that with mine. I'm first to admit it. But what they do is they just tell anybody, wherever they are, they say, oh, the animal is for emotional support. And as many of your listeners probably know, you can go on the internet and you can buy a vest that says service dog. And there is actually no certification. There's no licensing of service dogs. In fact, the Americans with Disability Act prohibits governments from requiring proof that a dog is a service dog or for emotional support.
Bob, what happens if someone brings their service cat, their service cat on a plane, and you happen to sit next to a person that's very allergic to cats? I mean, you don't see airplanes serving peanuts anymore because of peanut allergies. But
that's a really good point, yes.
So,
I know there's a lot of people in society who resent the fact that you can't get certain foods now because one person on the plane might be allergic to that food,
right.
And it could contaminate their food and, in some cases with food allergies, cause death. With a cat allergy, it's really up to the discretion of the airline industry, because the courts have really been reluctant to get involved in this, because you can think of a million situations where how do you know what's accommodated? You know, another accommodation would be to have the person who's allergic can move, or the person with the cat can move. There are no absolute rules about this. And until they come up with some way to do this, it's always going to be a hit and miss. And there are still airlines that will say, under no circumstances are we going to let a pig on the plane, no matter how clean, no matter how quiet it is. And other airlines are willing to tolerate it to a certain extent. The federal government, as I said, has so far taken a position of let's let people try to work it out on their own. And sometimes that works. And, you know, as you said, though, we've all seen people with little poodles and fluffy dogs that have service vests on. And we all know that many, if not most of those animals are not service animals. These people just got these vests online so they can take them into public places, and then they can just say, well, it's for emotional support. And the catch-22 kind of, Lori, with the law is that people with disabilities don't want to be grilled about their disability. So the law very appropriately says to people, you can't ask somebody about their disability. That's a private issue. If they say they have a service animal, they shouldn't have to be subjected to a cross-examination and providing all this proof. And because part of having a disability is the issue of being humiliated. By not allowing people, including police officers and whatever, to ask, is this really a service dog, prove to us that it's a service dog, the logic being that you don't want to humiliate the person, it allows people all over the country to abuse that and say, oh, my dog's a service dog for emotional support, and law enforcement and the public can't do anything about it because you're not supposed to humiliate somebody who might have a real disability. So your listeners can see this kind of conundrum of the law doesn't want to humiliate people with disabilities, but how do you stop people from faking it?
Bob Ferber, thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Lori. Take care and have a happy holiday.
You too.
Thanks.
That's the sound of a dog whose vocal cords were cut just to stifle her voice. It's called devocalization, and it's done to cats as well. Devocalized animals rasp and wheeze, cough and gag the rest of their lives. Some are rendered mute. And for what? So a commercial or hobby breeder can keep many animals without having to listen to them. So show dogs will be quiet in transit between shows or in the ring. So an irresponsible pet owner can leave a dog alone for hours every day. Animals today joins with Coalition to Protect and Rescue Pets in saying shame on anyone who would have a dog or cat devocalized, and shame on the vets who perform this inhumane, unnecessary surgery for them. Please speak out against devocalization of dogs and cats. Use your voice. Protect theirs.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at AIAnimals.org.
Are you worried about losing your home to foreclosure? If you've been threatened with foreclosure or receive legal papers from your bank, you have approximately 30 days to respond. If you do not respond, you could lose your home. You have rights. Act now to protect your rights. You can stay in your home. Many times you can even modify your loan. The bottom line is you can get past this, but you must act right now. If you've been served by your bank and you're worried about losing your home to foreclosure, now is the time to fight back and save your home. Time is limited, so call the professionals at National Foreclosure Defense right now.
800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. That number again is 800-708-7922.
Inventory isn't about products, kid. It's about money. Products sitting on shelves is money sitting on shelves. I hate overstock. I hate understock. I hate wasting time. I hate wasting money. That's why I love Grainger. Grainger KeepStock Solutions help us manage our facility's inventory so we have exactly what we need when we need it. No more, no less. It's inventory management my way. Get it? Got it? Good. Visit Grainger.com/KeepStock for more information. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
It's the holidays, and for the U.S. Postal Service, this is our season for many reasons.
Because we treat every package like it's from our own Aunt Kathy.
Because we have the manpower, the tech power, and the willpower to get the job done.
Because of amazing services like text alerts.
Because we deliver to more people in more places than anyone.
Because through rain, sleet, snow, or whatever else Mother Nature throws at us, we bring our A-game.
When it comes time to ship your gifts, trust the U.S. Postal Service, because this is our season. Priority you. For more info about our service, go to USPS.com.
Attention, if you've been classified as a high-risk driver due to DUI, DWI, or tickets for aggressive driving and are required to get expensive and hard-to-find SR-22 auto insurance, then you must listen to this message, because we can help. Serenity Group Insurance is the largest insurance company in the U.S., specializing in SR-22 auto insurance and focused on serving the needs of customers classified by the state as high-risk drivers. We help people get back on their feet by providing easy-to-get, low-cost SR-22 insurance that anyone can afford. If you need SR-22 insurance, or if you have it now and are paying too much, you need to call us today for your free quote. Our specialists are standing by waiting for your call. We understand people make mistakes and are here to help by making SR-22 insurance easy to get and affordable for everyone. The call and the quote are free. Call us now at 800-676-5216. That's 800-676-5216. Again, 800-676-5216. 800-676-5216.
You've heard of Black Friday doorbuster deals. Well, don't miss Lumber Liquidators Floorbuster Deals. Get incredible discounts on your favorite floors at one-time-only prices. There's never been a better time to get a great deal on pre-finished hardwoods, hand-scraped hardwoods, gorgeous bamboo, top-quality laminates, and get 26-month special financing. Plus, get even more floorbuster discounts in our stores. The sale ends Tuesday, so these deals will not wait until after the holidays. Visit LumberLiquidators.com to find a store near you.
Geico Motorcycle presents Reflections from the Road.
You can't beat the open road, but saving money on motorcycle insurance is a close second. That's why I switched to Geico. Reminds me of the time I switched to a new helmet without a face mask and swallowed a bunch of gnats when I accidentally yawned. Those suckers tasted bad. Unlike Geico Motorcycle Savings, which always tastes real good.
Geico Motorcycle Insurance. See how much you could save.
Another mauling by an exotic pet. This one, north of Atlanta in Buckhead, a woman was attacked by her neighbor's lynx. How about that?
Yeah, inevitable, not surprising at all.
So the details here is that this woman was a neighbor, and this lynx was owned by the owners of this lynx had a number of other big, medium-sized cats also, not lions or tigers, but a bunch of them. And they went on vacation, and the neighbor was enlisted to feed the cats, and this one somehow attacked her, caused some pretty significant bleeding from the head and scalp, and I imagine she needed to get stapled up there. And we hear this pretty often, don't we?
We sure do. A few months ago, you even brought up a story about a pet python strangling a boy.
Yep. I think a two-year-old.
A two-year-old.
Was asphyxiated.
I mean, this just happens all the time, Peter.
Yeah. Why is your neighbor... I mean, so many questions, but why is this legal? This was a legally owned cat, by the way. The owner had a Georgia Department of Natural Resources wild animal breeding license and reportedly was in compliance with the law, right?
Yeah, but whether it's legal or not, it always ends up bad for the animal and for the people.
Yes. So this neighbor, I mean, it's not like asking your neighbor to come feed your house cat, right? Come feed us, come feed your little kitty and you're in and out. Not a big chance of injury, right? But you've got a 90-pound wild animal that is agitated and doesn't want you to be there. Once you get these animals, once you just take the fork down the road and you want to have exotic animals, that's like a commitment. You can't you're married to these guys, right? And you can't expect your neighbors to do your dirty work,
right,
for you.
But also, Peter, we spoke about this on a previous show, the ethical issues surrounding owning exotic pets.
Yeah,
right.
Well, that goes without saying.
Right.
Well,
these are wild animals.
Yep.
They shouldn't be kept as pets. They shouldn't be in captivity.
Yep.
They should be in the wild and act like wild animals.
But they're so cool. I want to have one.
I know.
And I want to breed them and have a baby lynx.
Right.
So, well, we'll see what happens with that one. But really, these laws need to change.
Right.
Oakland is on the verge of achieving a nice milestone. Next week, they're going to vote to hopefully ban the use of elephant bull hooks.
Fantastic, which means no performing elephants and no circuses in that area?
Well, that's what it will lead to. It will lead to no elephants because you really can't march your elephants around without these bull hooks.
Explain what the bull hook is.
So these are big metal barbs that the handlers and the trainers use to guide the elephants. They're very pointy. They prod them in the sensitive areas, and they keep the elephants under control, and they cannot perform without them. So when L.A., Los Angeles, banned them last year, and it's going to take effect in the upcoming years, they're no longer going to be able to have elephants. So Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus, they have, the word is threatened, to skip Oakland in their upcoming U.S. tour if they adopt this ordinance, and that would be great.
Yes. So L.A. really led this, didn't they?
L.A. had led the way, and this is a great example of a great example. We're just very excited about this. So if you live in Oakland, you know what to do. Okay. Now, Lori, let's say you get a new dog and you have got to name this dog.
Of course, we adopted it.
Yes, you adopted it. You adopted it. And
didn't buy it from a breeder or a pet store.
What do you want to name this dog?
Okay.
So there is data on this. There's survey data from Vet Street. They know what people are naming their dogs in 2014.
Oh, so you have the survey in front of you, the top common names for dogs?
I have it right here.
Okay. I would say...
And you have to, you know, there's the male dogs and there's female dogs.
Okay.
So let's say you're going to start with the male dogs. What do you think is most popular? Or even if you can get one in the top 10, I would say I'd be pretty impressed.
Without a doubt, Max.
Max?
Everyone wants to name their dog Max.
Did you read the survey?
No.
Because Max is number one.
Is it really?
Yes.
And it's been number one for many years probably, right?
To me, Max seems like an old name.
Okay.
But I don't know. It's still popular.
Okay. Yeah.
Most popular. What other male dog names do you
Buddy.
Think?
Buddy.
Buddy. Buddy is on the list.
Okay.
That it also surprises me a little bit. Buddy is the fourth most popular name this year for
okay.
a male dog.
Okay.
Can you give me one more? One more.
Charlie.
Charlie is very popular still.
Oh.
Second most popular
okay.
one. So some of the others to round out the list. Toby is popular. Bentley. Duke, Bear, Cooper, Rocky.
Yeah.
Zeus. Come here, Zeus. It doesn't sound right to me. You know, Duke, I could... Cooper, that's a nice sweater you've got on, Cooper.
Okay.
I don't know. Bentley. Anyway.
Okay, how about female dogs?
Most popular one is...
Oh, let's see. I'd say Cleo.
Cleo, no.
Chloe.
Chloe, yes. Chloe has just made the list, the 10th most popular name for a female dog. And can you give me one or two more that
oh.
you think might be on this list?
Let's see. Daisy.
Daisy is on the list.
Oh,
very popular.
Okay.
The second most one. And the most popular is Bella.
Bella.
So, do you think any type, size, or type dog could be named Bella? Does that work for all girl dogs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I knew a big, huge pit bull, beautiful girl mm-hmm. named Bella.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, some of the other popular ones, Luna, Zoe, Sophie, Molly, Sadie, Lucy, Daisy. You know, there's a lot of similarity between these names, these girl dog names and human females, don't you think?
Yeah.
Not so much with the boys.
Right.
Not many people name their human boy Max these days, but there you go.
There you go.
Okay,
thanks,
Lord.
Peter.
Okay.
And thank you for listening to Animals Today. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals.